Chapter 10. As soon as Amaryllis finished speaking, several people began to advance on us. Most of them were fey, some with little horns like Amaryllis, all with the same two beautiful, two elongated features. Others looked more human, but the strange luminosity of their eyes made me sure they were vampires. I jumped to my feet and lurched forward to grab Amaryllis' wrist. "Let her go!" I snarled. Amaryllis turned to me slowly, like she hadn't even noticed me at first. Then, another too sharp smile spread across her face, and her other hand shot out blindingly quick to wrap around my throat.
"Do you really think you could intimidate me, pretty thing?"
she asked in a voice as hard and as cold as ice. Her fingers squeezed vice-like around my throat, and I couldn't stop a small, strangled gasp.
"I have lived for hundreds of years. Your lifespan is the blink of an eye to someone like me. You're a child playing at war, and you have no idea what you're truly dealing with."
Carmen and Asami had also gotten to their feet. My sister's hands were clenched into fists by her sides, and she glared at Amaryllis.
"Get your fucking hands off my brother and my friend!"
Carmen ordered, and her dark eyes sparkled fiercely. I was both impressed by her absolute refusal to back down and worried she would get herself in too deep. Not that I was one to judge her on that front right now. Amaryllis just looked at Carmen with a disinterested expression. Then she nodded, and two fey men surged forward to grab both my sister and Asami by the upper arms to restrain them. They both struggled, but I now knew from experience how strong full-blooded fey were. Really strong. There was no doubt in my mind that if Amaryllis wanted, she could crush my windpipe and kill me right here. But then she let go. Kyla and I both lurched backward with a gasp, and my hands came to my neck to assess the damage, which didn't seem to be too severe. I looked over at Kyla, and she didn't seem to be able to speak right then, but she gave me an encouraging nod.
"Fortunately for all of you, I have a strict policy of not personally dirtying my hands. Sorrel, Yarrow, hand them over to our nocturnal friends."
Two more fey came up behind Kyla and me, and restrained us the same way they'd restrained Carmen and Asami. The one holding me was even stronger than Amaryllis, and he didn't even seem to notice I was struggling against his grip. Well, this was illuminating. I deadpanned as I turned to Kyla. She caught my meaning, and a second later, a brilliant burst of light exploded from her. I turned away and squeezed my eyes shut just before it happened, and Carmen and Asami, who'd been watching Kyla and me, caught on too and did the same. We were the only ones spared from being blinded, and several cries of surprise and pain rose up from the fairies and the vampires. I shoved my head back and headbutted my captor in the nose, and as the light faded, I saw Carmen donkey kick the man holding her, which forced him to let go so he could cradle his shin. Between us, Asami had turned her head and bitten the tall fey holding her on the back of his hand, and he screamed and tore his hand away. It gushed blood, and I saw Asami spit out a mouthful of red. On my other side, Kyla had now concentrated her light blast and aimed it directly at the fairy man's face. I caught the smell of burning flesh before I heard the scream, and I had to turn away for a moment when I saw the raw, red color of his skin. But he let her go, and that was all we needed. "The alleyway!" I yelled to the three women. We tore off and shoved our way between dazed partiers. Kyla brought up the rear and threw up another huge flash of light to throw off our pursuers, and we emerged into the cold night air. Okay, so, maybe getting out hadn't actually been that hard, but we were still being followed. I stopped just outside the door and waited for the others, first Asami, then Carmen, and finally Kyla. "You're all okay?" I asked, and they all nodded.
"At least we found out why those half-fey went missing,"
Asami said with an uneasy expression.
"Though I'll admit I didn't expect a fairy to be helping daywalkers. If she feels that overprotective of her genetic supremacy, she'll work with anyone."
Kyla said with a grim expression.
But make no mistake, she also fully intends to throw them under the bus at some point. I would imagine she plans to kill all the vampires who know she was personally involved and serve up the rest to the Order's justice.
Oh, how noble of her. Now come on, I don't want to stay here any longer than we... I was cut off by a huge hand clamping over my mouth from behind. I was dragged back, sharply enough that I almost fell over, and my vision went completely black.
Leo!
Carmen screamed, for some reason sounding very distant, but I was too confused to try and shout back. I'd been standing with my back to a wall, so what had grabbed me? Well, my question was answered a moment later when I experienced the same trapped-in-a-bubble sensation as when I'd walked through the mirrors to and from the sanctuary. Only there were no mirrors out here. I was pulled backward through a solid brick wall, and when my vision returned, I found I was facing a different brick wall, but I could still hear Carmen's yelling. I tried to turn my head and saw she was standing only about 50 feet away, and she'd noticed this. I was now further down the alleyway, more hidden in the shadows, and it seemed the shadows were how I'd traveled. As I turned my head again to try and see the face of whoever had grabbed me, I was unsurprised to see the luminous eyes and pointed teeth of a vampire. I was standing right next to him, though not by choice, and I noticed his skin was flawless. He didn't even seem to have pores. It was more believable that a marble statue had come to life than the idea that this creature had ever been a human person. I bit down hard on the hand over my mouth, but the vampire didn't even flinch. I stomped on his foot next, but that did no good either. I wished I'd ignored Kyla's warnings about possibly offending someone, because she'd insisted none of us bring any weapons. But now I was unarmed and trapped by a man who didn't seem remotely bothered by my struggling.
Leo!
I heard again, but this time it was Kyla. And that was all the warning I got before there was another brilliant flash of light. The vampire grunted and moved his hand from my mouth to shield his eyes, but Kyla was standing too far away to do any proper damage to him. Still, it was enough for me to get free, and I shoved myself away from the vampire man, pivoted on one foot, and saw a knife on his belt. I leaned forward and ripped it from its sheath, and without even pausing to consider the moral implications, or even if it would do anything to a vampire, I slashed the blade across his throat. The look he gave me when he realized he was bleeding was more of an expression of surprise, or even offense, than of pain or fear. He hissed, or maybe he gurgled it because he had to speak around the blood rising in his throat. It leaked out the corners of his mouth and from between his fingers as he clutched at his neck in a fruitless attempt to staunch the flow of blood.
I have no idea what you're messing with. You have no idea what we have planned.
Maybe not yet, I replied, and I still gripped the knife tightly in case I needed to strike again. But I'm gonna find out and I'm gonna stop it, and there's nothing you'll be able to do to stop me. I watched dispassionately as the vampire died, and the light faded from his dark eyes. He seemed to age before me, going from a guy in his late 20s to a graying 50-something to a white-haired octogenarian. His body then shriveled until he was just skin stretched over bones. His hair fell out, and he collapsed into a pile of dust at my feet, with only a leather jacket and a pair of black jeans to mark that he'd never been there at all. Gross.
Leo!
I heard Carmen shout again, and a moment later she barreled into me and threw her arms around my neck in a tight hug.
Jesus fucking Christ, Leo!
Yeah, it's okay, monkey. I raised one hand, the one not holding the bloody knife, to hug her back, and I patted her shoulders gently. I'm okay.
If there's one vampire, there will be more. We need to get out of here.
Can we go back to the apartment? I don't really want to telegraph my location to these people.
Is there a church nearby? Holy grounds of some kind? It won't make them burst into flames or anything, but they won't have fun if they try to get in. The nearest church is like 3 miles away,
Carmen said as she let go of me.
But I saw a synagogue when we were in the cab. Is that holy ground? I think so.
Asami answered, though her expression was unsure.
They're consecrated, so it should work. It's better than nothing, certainly.
I'd rather wait out the night there than lead him back to the apartment, I said with a nod. Come on, which way, monkey? Carmen pointed down the alleyway, and we set off. But we'd hardly made it 20 feet before 4 hulking shadows emerged from the darkness. Literally.
And just where do you think you're going?
Asked the one standing at the front of the little group. Unlike the vampire I'd just killed, his eyes were pale. They were such a light gray that they seemed almost the color of a mirror, sort of shiny. I felt a strange tug in my head, like when we'd been in the bar a few nights ago and the vampire bartender had done something to check whether I was being truthful. Some tiny voice, some compulsion whispered in my head, that I felt the urge to surrender, to lay down my knife and... No! I wanted to reach forward, grab Kyla, and hold it to her throat. I shook my head suddenly, so suddenly that Carmen, Kyla, and Asami all glanced at me for a second.
Oh, don't look him directly in the eyes. He's trying to pull some Jedi mind trick shit on me.
Hypnotism.
Asami corrected, and her tone was faintly amused, despite the danger we were all in.
Vampires can compel people. Makes it easier to drink blood when your prey is docile. Well, unfortunately for these bastards, I've never been docile a day in my life.
Carmen snarled. She cast her gaze across the ground, and a dangerous grin lit across her face as she spied something. Then I saw her lean down, and when she stood upright again, she had a piece of broken pipe clenched in her hands like a baseball bat.
Sami, get behind us.
Kyla ordered as she raised her hands to let off another flash of light. Asami obeyed, and she positioned herself directly behind me, so the 4 of us formed a diamond shape, with Carmen on my left and Kyla on my right. 4 against 4. Technically. Why are you working with a fairy? I asked loudly, and I held up the knife and pointed it at the gray-eyed vampire. You know she's gonna sell you out as soon as she's done with you. The gray-eyed vampire just laughed.
Of course she is.
He said, and he put his hands in his pockets like this was just a casual conversation between acquaintances, and not something about to devolve into a bloody fight that would definitely see deaths.
Which is why we're gonna sell her out first.
You seriously think that will work?
Maybe, maybe not.
The vampire admitted with a shrug.
But either way, the penalty for a fairy selling out half fae is gonna be a lot higher than a vampire who's drinking them. The courts might not like halflings much, but fae blood is fae blood. And it still ought to be treated with a certain amount of respect.
Yeah, I feel really fucking respected right now.
Kyla said as she bared her teeth. Only then did I notice her own canines were slightly pointed. A toned-down version of those sharp, needle-like fairy teeth.
Let us go, and I won't burn you all to ashes.
The vampire chuckled and looked around at his 3 companions, as if to say, can you believe this woman?
How about this?
He countered when he turned back to face us.
You hand yourself over, Blondie, and we'll let your little friends leave here alive. Well, the 2 chicks, that guy just killed Edstley. You don't kill one of our clan and just walk away.
Here he paused and gave me a wide grin that perfectly showed off his fanged canines.
You look like you have a well-balanced diet. I bet you'll taste great.
Come see for yourself. I snarled and raised the knife again. You touch any of us, I'll cut your heart out.
Even better,
the vampire said, and his voice was an unsettling parody of bright and cheerful.
Oh, I love when they're all feisty, huh? So much more fun to hold down.
The other 3 vampires all took a step forward in eerie unison, and their leader pointed to Kyla.
Don't cut her. Scratch doesn't accept sloppy seconds. The mouthy fuck is mine. Kill the other 2.
Dibs on the little one.
The taller of the 3 lackeys said, and the tip of his tongue darted out and caught between his teeth as he looked Asami up and down.
She smells like O-negative.
Carmen and Kyla both took a very deliberate step sideways, which narrowed our diamond shape and made it harder for the vampires to get a clear line of sight on Asami.
Sami, whenever you're ready, let them get in a little closer.
I couldn't see what she was doing because she was directly behind me, and I knew better than to take my eyes off the vampires as they advanced. but I was relieved to hear her voice was firm and steady.
Too much closer and they'll have their fangs in our necks,
Carmen said uneasily, and she tightened her grip on the pipe.
Just a little more.
I did wonder why the vampires were moving as slowly as they were, but it was obvious we weren't just going to roll over for them, and just charging forward would probably only serve to get them killed. No matter. They were going to die anyway if I had anything to say about it. The four vampires crept forward another couple steps, now close enough that I could smell the faint tang of blood, but something else, too. Something kind of flowery. I distantly realized it must have been fairy blood. I recognized the smell from the night I'd met Kyla and Keegan. What I'd initially mistaken for floral cologne must have actually been Keegan's blood. Had they fed off a half-fae recently? Had it been Jameson or one of the others who'd been captured? Oh, it's best to just surrender. It'll be less painful if you do. If you beg nicely, we might even hypnotize you so you don't feel the pain.
I bet you just love that kind of shit. Did you do this to Jameson and the others? Corner them in an alleyway and try to roofie them into coming with you?
Didn't need to. He came along willingly. Didn't even realize anything was wrong until the syringe was in his neck.
The gray-eyed vampire slowly turned his weirdly shiny gaze onto me.
Weak minds are always the easiest to hypnotize.
Then he lunged forward, but I leapt backward at the same time and narrowly dodged his outstretched hand. It was more like a claw now, like it had transformed in the blink of an eye. The fingernails had changed into black talons, and they raked through the air a hair's breadth from my throat. Too close. But also close enough that I could get in a hit of my own. After the vampire's swing, but before he could try a second time with his other hand, I leaned forward and drove the knife into his chest, just below his collarbone. Like the first vampire, Edsley, this one let out a cry that was more offended than actually pained. And I felt five needle-like claws dig into the flesh of my right shoulder as he grabbed me, debated whether to shove me forward or backward, and then pushed me away. If not for the fact Carmen and the others were behind me, I would have landed flat on my ass. But they caught me, and we all watched as the vampire reached down and pulled the knife free from his chest, as calmly as if he was taking off a scarf. Then he threw the knife to the ground, and it clattered metallically on the concrete.
You missed!
The vampire snarled, and his eyes were all black now. I didn't know if that was because I'd pissed him off or because I'd injured him, but I wasn't interested in waiting around to ask.
You're gonna pay for that.
This time, the vampires didn't try to play coy, and they charged at us like a pack of wolves closing in on a herd of deer. I braced myself for the impact, now that I was unarmed, and I raised both my fists. If I could win a sparring match against a werewolf, I sure as hell was going to make it difficult for these guys to take us down. But suddenly the vampires all stopped. I opened my mouth to ask what had just happened, but then I caught sight of Asami out of the corner of my eye. She'd stepped forward so she was at my side rather than behind me, and she was looking at me intensely with a finger raised to her lips. I closed my mouth.
Where the fuck did they go?
One of the vampires, the tall one who'd called dibs on Asami, took a step forward and scowled deeply.
I can fucking smell them. It's a shitty little glamour spell. Spread out,
the gray-eyed one ordered, and he threw out a hand.
They can't move too much, or they'll disturb the spell. Glamours don't hide physical matter.
What are you doing? I mouthed, and Kyla took a very careful step forward. Then she vanished. After a moment of staring, I remembered what she'd told me when Carmen and I had first been brought to the sanctuary. She could make herself invisible because she possessed a talent for light magic, so she could bend light around herself. But she could only hold it for a significant length of time with two people. Meaning Asami, Carmen, and myself were covered by Asami's glamour spell, but Kyla was using her own magic to become entirely invisible. Except, I could still see her aura. I watched as the wispy silver lines lazily floated along the ground like smoke, and they wove between the vampire's ankles and came to rest in the center of their little group. I watched the silvery threads condense, which showed Kyla had stopped moving, but I was still baffled. She was the one they wanted. She was their primary target, and she was literally walking right into the center of the lion's den. The only thing stopping me from walking forward and pulling her out of there was the fact Asami wasn't doing that either, and I was confident she would never let Kyla do something so reckless without at least arguing about it. Asami took a careful step toward me and put her mouth right by my ear, but even with that proximity, I struggled to hear her whisper,
"Move very slowly and pick up the knife,"
she instructed, and then walked forwards. I watched as she slowly pulled a knife free from one of the other vampire's belts with the calm, deft fingers of a professional pickpocket, and he didn't even appear to notice the theft. I took this cue and very carefully crouched down to pick up the knife the gray-eyed vampire had dropped. As I got back to my feet, I saw Kyla's aura wisps shift, and I realized she must have been waiting for us to arm ourselves before making her move. And what a move it was. In a fraction of a second, she became visible again, and then she exploded with light. It was brighter than anything she'd pulled off in the club. Her very skin was glowing, like she was a star, like she was the sun. She jumped on the nearest vampire and tackled him to the ground, and her hands fixed themselves around his throat as she carried on shining. The other three vampires all wailed and turned away from the light, and I heard the faint, hissing sound of burning flesh. But I was pretty sure Kyla couldn't hold up the intense burst of light for very long, so we needed to move fast. "Go!" I yelled to Asami and Carmen, and I went straight for the gray-eyed vampire again. Asami dove for the tall one with a dangerous look in his eyes, and Carmen went for the remaining vampire. My sister swung the pipe with enough force that when it connected with the side of the vampire's head, I heard the crunch of the bones in his skull breaking. But that apparently wasn't enough to take a vampire down, so she swung again from the other side, and I heard another crunch. Meanwhile, Asami, with her newly acquired knife, had driven the blade into the tall vampire's side and dragged it toward her, a similar wound to what Keegan had suffered in the alleyway a few days prior. Something I knew would bleed a lot and quickly. Somehow I doubted Kyla would be willing to cauterize that one. I turned my attention back to the lead vampire, whose eyes had now returned to gray again, just as Kyla's light began to dim a little. He was still bleeding from the wound to his chest, but it was sluggish and slow, like he'd already mostly healed.
"Cheap tricks won't help you,"
he said. But that was all he said because I rushed at him and shoved him back against the wall. He managed to get one hand fisted in the lapel of my jacket, and his other hand clawed at my injured right shoulder. His fingers raked across my flesh, and I bit down on a cry as I angled the edge of the knife against his throat.
"Where's Scratch? Where does he take the half-fey?"
"What? You think you can intimidate me, little human? You think you can do anything to me? That's a tenth as bad as what Scratch'll do if he learns I ratted him out to some wannabe eye."
"Considering I'm the one currently holding a knife to your throat, I'd encourage you to be a little more scared of me right now," I said, and I pressed the dagger harder against the skin of his neck just to make my point. He was insanely pale. Kyla and Keegan were fair-skinned, but they weren't washed out and ghostly like this guy. I wondered if that was because he was a vampire or if he'd been that pasty as a human.
"Then you're an idiot. Go after Scratch and you'll make powerful enemies. So powerful they could kill you in front of the head of the Order, and they wouldn't do anything to avenge you. You're only a little human. You can threaten me all you like, but you don't scare me. You'll never scare me."
"Fine. And I don't need you to be scared. I just need you to shut the fuck up."
And I sliced a knife across his throat. I felt the spurt of warm blood across my face and tightly closed my eyes and mouth because I was pretty sure getting a vampire's blood in my body would not be good for me. I let go of the vampire, and he let go of me and slumped to the ground against the alleyway. He looked up at me, more dazed than anything else, and I watched his shining gray eyes turn dull. He, too, aged and fast forward, until he was just a bloody set of clothes in the dust. I had no time to pause because I heard a grunt from behind me and turned to see Kyla still fighting against the vampire she'd tackled. The last of her light had almost completely faded, and despite the fact the vampire was severely burned, he wasn't given up just yet. His skin was red and bubbled with scorch marks, and the unsettling smell of cooking meat filled the air. He wasn't even able to speak because his mouth and tongue and throat were too mangled, but he wasn't dead. Kyla!
He's a daywalker! Fuck, he's got some resistance to my light! How's this for resistance?
I heard Carmen snarl, and I turned to see my sister standing over what was left of one of the vampires. I could recognize him only from his jacket, because what had once been his face and head was a bloody, broken mess of skull fragments and, Jesus Christ, monkey! Bits of brain matter. Carmen looked at Kyla and me with something wild and resigned in her eyes. Then she took two strides forward, raised the bloody, dented pipe high above her head, and brought it down in one brutal arc directly onto the burned vampire's face. There was another horrible crunch, and he went still. His hands went slack from around Kyla's throat and upper arm, and Kyla rolled off him with a relieved gasp. I stretched out a hand, and she took it and used her other hand to adjust her dress.
Next time we get into a brawl with vampires, I'm wearing pants.
She muttered, but then a moment later she gasped.
Asami!
My head shot up, and I turned to see Asami standing over the tall vampire with her arms covered in blood. He was slumped, half sitting, half lying, in the same posture as Keegan had been in when Carmen and I had come out into that other alleyway. Both of his hands were pressed to the injury in his side, but it was obvious he was dead, and I got only a few seconds to take in the sight of him there before he crumbled to dust like the other three.
This is why I chose to become a researcher.
Asami tossed away her knife with a look of disgust, and she held her arms out slightly like she was reluctant to let them touch anything. She looked like she was wearing the world's goriest pair of opera gloves.
Fieldwork is so messy. I'm just glad you're okay.
Kyla said, and she rushed toward Asami with apparently no concern for how the dark-haired woman was covered in blood.
This was so reckless of me. God, Keegan would kill me if he found out. You don't even have any combat training. Well, I seem to hold my own, just about.
Asami said, and she nuzzled Kyla's shoulder instead of hugging her so she could keep her arms clear.
I'm a bit concerned that yours was a daywalker, though. He's fed off half-fey enough to be that resistant to your light. That's a little worrying.
Kyla admitted as she pulled away from Asami, but then she smiled at me and my sister.
Just as well you guys were here. That's why eyes always hunt in pairs. Carmen Rivera in the alleyway with the lead pipe.
My sister snorted as she threw said pipe toward the pile of dust that had been her vampire.
Now, I don't know about you, but I think we should try to get back before Amaryllis realizes we beat her attack dogs and she sends more after us.
Agreed. And we could all use a shower.
Oh, a shower sounds like heaven right about now.
Let me just check something first, I said, and I crouched down next to the remnants of the gray-eyed vamp. If his clothes hadn't turned to dust, then presumably his wallet hadn't either. And sure enough, it hadn't. I pulled it free from his jeans and flipped it open to reveal an ID that was 25 years out of date, despite the fact the picture was identical to how the guy had looked only a few minutes ago. $20 in assorted bills, a credit card, and a business card with a weird little logo on it. Well, that one gave me pause. I pulled it free from the little window so I could examine it better, and as I did so I realized it had an address on the other side. I didn't know the address exactly, but it was still in California, though the logo was what drew most of my attention.
Pip?
Carmen asked as she took a step toward me.
You okay?
Then it hit me. I straightened from my crouch, turned to face the three of them, and then held out the card for them to see. It might not have meant anything to Asami, but I knew it would mean something to Kyla and my sister. The night we met, I said to Kyla, those guys jumped you in the alleyway. They were human, right?
As far as I'm aware.
Kyla nodded.
They knew about the magical world, obviously, but they were almost certainly human.
Yeah, they were wearing armbands. Armbands with this symbol on it. Which means they were working for Amaryllis, or this Scratch guy. Amaryllis definitely has it out for you and Keegan specifically. Carmen rubbed her arm, and her gaze flitted between me and Kyla uneasily. What is it? I raised an eyebrow at her.
I just...
She began, and rubbed her arm again.
Don't you think it's a bit too much of a coincidence the only half-fae members in their branch of the Order got sent on a mission to the place where a bunch of half-fae's are being kidnapped? To the city where a Seelie fairy was explicitly trying to get them to come here on a case so she could kill them? What are you saying? If it was me, I'd want my half-fae members to steer well clear of something like that, for their safety. Or at the very least, I'd fucking tell them that half-fae had been going missing in the area they were being sent to, instead of just pinning it up on some Barb's bulletin board.
Masami stiffened beside me, and a moment later Kyla did the same on my other side.
You...
The blonde woman said softly to my sister, and her green eyes were wide with a horrified realization.
You think someone in the Order is working with Amaryllis? Or Scratch? Maybe. Maybe they just saw the opportunity to get rid of members they didn't like, and they don't know what's actually happening.
Carmen shrugged and then looked at me.
You have to admit, it makes a kind of fucked up sense, right? I don't sound insane?
No. It doesn't sound insane at all. In fact, it made horrible, horrible sense.